I'm Danny Dorling. I'm Professor of Geography at the University of Oxford. I love London because I come here very often. It's exciting compared to all the other places I've actually lived in England, which are nice and fine, but, you know, London is different. I love the mix of people in London. I love the way that London feels pretty safe now compared to when I first came here in the 1970s. A lot of things have got better in London. I like the fact that the cars are better controlled in London. I like the fact that you don't have boarded up shops and so on in London. There's a lot of things about London where people don't count their blessings, partly because they don't see things in other parts of Britain, which are pretty awful in some places. The model of power for these mega cities is a kind of super mayor and an executive. And because the rate of change is so fast and buildings are going up so fast, you end up saying only one central organisation can control this, and people can feel that they really can't contribute very much other than voting every 4 years, and they're only ever given a choice between two people. And that's the danger. You shut down the choices, you shut down the feeling that you ought to be able to help and do things yourself. Elsewhere, if you like, power is devolved down to smaller areas more. Things are sorted out by local communities and by small town councils. Whereas in London, it's easy to think it's impossible to have much of an effect. And the other big problem for London is turnover of the population. There are areas of London in which most people are not there 4 or 5 years later. And trying to get people to exercise power when they think, I'm not going to be here in 5 years' time, why should I worry? That ends up with a vacuum. The inequality statistics for London at the moment are exceptionally high. They're the kind of figures that people pull out to show shocking figures worldwide. It goes from the best off tenth of Londoners a few years ago having 100 times the wealth of the average member of the poorest tenth. That's now about 200. At some point, because the poorest tenth will be in debt, we won't be able to calculate that anymore. The gaps in qualifications in London are growing between those who've got 2 or 3 university degrees and an increasing number of people in London with no qualifications. The life expectancy gaps in London are well known, but there isn't any much sign of them narrowing, and this is despite a huge influx of incredibly healthy young people. And the pay gaps are enormous. London has the highest. London is where all the really highly paid people in the country live, or they come into London. And London is the biggest concentration of poverty in Western Europe. London does have a problem with democracy. It is good that the GLA have a series of elected members, but those members have nothing like the power of the mayor, and that's not a good thing to trust one person so much. But the other issue that London is going to have to address at some point is that its boroughs were designed a long time before the local authority districts of the rest of the country. They were actually created in 1965, and they may have been fit for purpose in 1965, but now they're not the right areas. People move between areas of London far more. They're too big for local participation. They're too small to have an effect. And I think you really do need at some point to look at how London is governed geographically so that you can encourage more people in. And you may be talking about the whole set of smaller areas as well as larger areas. And the borough level may actually be the worst level to have our elected representatives ending up having responsibility for, but not much power, because their budgets are cut and they're, you know, simply told you have to do these things by law. You have to house people who are homeless. You have to collect the rubbish. And it doesn't become a particularly inviting job to want to be a local councillor. One huge problem for London is the number of people who are not enfranchised in London, who are not on the actual roll. This was made worse by the changes in the regulations for getting on the roll. A few years ago, just one person in your household could fill in a form for everybody. Now everybody has to individually register themselves. But the other thing that's happening in London, because there's been this massive increase in private renting and also a very big increase in evictions, but people in private renting being moved every 2 or 3 years, is that your incentive to get on the actual roll isn't that high, because for people who are renting privately in London at the moment, the chances of them being in the same address when it comes to a general election in 2020 are quite low. So other than worrying about your credit score and the fact that when you want to take out a credit card, you've got to be in the actual roll, that is the only incentive. What we should have is registration, where you are registered as an individual and that follows you around as you move. You shouldn't have to re-register every time you move address. Unless, of course, you want a form of democracy that means that people in leafy suburbs in London are more likely to vote than people in the middle of London. If that's your desire, you design an electoral system like this. London is full of people who do not have a right to vote in various elections because they're not British, they're citizens of Europe or somewhere else. We criticise cities in China when they do this, you know, when they say one set of people have fewer rights than others. But London has the biggest concentration of people who are not going to be able to vote on whether Britain leaves Europe or not, and it affects them more than anybody else. London is also losing between 6 and 10 constituencies because people are not on the roll. I think the single city that London should look to more than any other is Tokyo, because it's a successful city. It's a larger city, so if you want to see how you cope if you're growing as a city, Tokyo shows you how to do that. If you're looking at democracy in Tokyo, it is very much neighbourhood level, street level, and there's a responsibility on people to be part of that, including things like making sure that the street is clean outside your house. These are simply default assumptions of people in Tokyo. But we should look at the mega cities that are most successful, look at the political organisation in those cities and ask ourselves why we don't have that. Instead, we look at somewhere like New York, you know, where Mayor Bloomberg was, and New York has terrible problems. I think a good London is very possible. I think we've had a good London at various times in the past. You can go through decade by decade and say this was an awful decade, this was a much better decade. In this decade we rehoused people, in this decade we didn't care. So I don't think people should think that the future need be a kind of Blade Runner skyscraper future with the rich at the top and the poor, you know, not working out how on earth you get your sleeping bag in because all the places are taken. A better future is entirely possible. I think it'll come about when a larger proportion of people realise how likely they are to at some point be in the bottom half of London society, and if not them, their children or their brothers and sisters' children. It's that realisation is necessary. And one other problem London has is the Dick Whittington problem of, you know, the streets are paved with gold, come here and all will be okay. London collects the world's optimists. And until there's a greater sense of realism amongst people in London that they are not all going to become rich, I don't think London will improve. You know, on day one, if you were mayor, what would you do and what would you ask? I think humility is required. I think you should tell people that you are only one human being. You can't do it all on your own. You need a lot of help. You need help in redesigning the politics of London, in redesigning the areas that people can represent, and maybe moving away from the party, the political parties, the traditional ones. This is a fast-moving forward city, and our political parties in some ways are relics of the past. And I'd also do a really, really boring thing, which might fall flat. I'd just ask people to pick a piece of litter up that they hadn't dropped from the streets of London and see if anybody listened to me and what happened. That's when you get a really clean city without needing to make somebody be a litter picker all their days.